You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
Amen. So, as we celebrate 30 years of ministry, you know this was not an overnight success. There has been a process to get to where the ministry is today. And that's the title of my message, Trust the Process. I have really loved watching back on those clips that show the journey of the church and how we've got things up and running, because it's always so easy to look at the end result. Not that this is the end result by any means, but we look at this picture and we think, wow, they have it so easy. They have it so put together. Everything just flows so smoothly. But we don't realize the process it took to get here today. I mean, we just heard the snake story of how my dad himself sat up till 3 a.m. soldering little wires together. That's all part of the process. And we heard from Mom yesterday how they had to stay the course. But you know, they wouldn't have been able to stay the course if they didn't trust that there was a process in place and that God had a plan for all of this. So I need you to realize that this is a message coming from a little girl who stood with her parents at the opening of their first church service, who went on to speak her message to the full congregation almost exactly 30 years later. And if you knew me in school days, or even in my 20s, you'll know what a big giant step this is for me. But it's all by the grace of God. Because I used to be that student that highly disliked that my surname and my name started with a B, because it would mean I would have to go first when it came time for orals. And that just wasn't my thing. I also remember growing up, and when we would drive with my parents, they would have these discussions with us in the car, and they would remind us how we have to say hello to everybody. And not just hello, you have to use their names. And for me, like now looking back, I totally get it. That is the polite thing to do. But even just saying hello to someone was so intimidating for me. I used to come across, I know a lot of people used to think I was such a snob or whatever the terminology is, but it was because I was so reserved. I was quite like withdrawn. I kept to myself. But that was actually just because I was really, really shy. But do you know what I would go back and I would tell that little girl? I would tell her, don't sweat those moments. Don't worry about them. Trust the process. Because before you realize it, God will be using you at Come Celebrate 2024 to deliver a message. This is also a message coming from a young girl who used to wonder if she will ever get married. How will I ever meet someone? You heard how shy I was and how held back I was. How am I going to meet someone to even marry them? But now I'm going on 7 years of marriage, 2 beautiful boys and another baby on the way. And if I could go back to that 21-year-old girl, I would tell her to trust the process. To know that God has this all figured out. Trust the process. Don't rush the process. Dad mentioned in his message over the weekend that he was asked by a driver on one of his trips if there was anything that he would change, looking back on all his years of ministry, if there's anything he would change in his life. And he honestly stood back and said, you know what? There's not one thing that he would change. Because everything in our lives has led us to this moment. Everything we go through has led us to become the person we are, to have the ministry we have, to do what we do. So maybe you're in that season right now, and I want to come from your future, and I want to tell you, trust the process. Know that you are walking with your God and He has got you. He's got a plan for your life. Trust in that. I know I'm in one of those seasons right now myself, but I'm looking at myself 1 year, 5 years, 10 years down the line, and I realize that if I trust my God in this process, He is working all things for my good. Philippians 1 verse 6 in the Passion Translation. I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Have you been called? Are you walking with God? Do you believe He has a plan for your life and He's working it out for the good? Then trust that process. But maybe you're thinking, I don't know how to trust that process. I don't know how to get to that place in my life. Well, yesterday we heard the importance of staying the course. And for us to trust the process, we need to believe that God has set our course, that He has a plan for our lives. Just like a ship would navigate its course, so God wants to navigate our lives. He wants us to walk in His perfect plan. But if any ship has to stay the course, it needs to trust the process. The two go hand in hand. And Mom and I didn't discuss the details of our message. We just mentioned the titles, but hearing everything, I was really encouraged. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we hear God speaking, "For I know the thoughts I have for you." In the English Standard Version, "I know the plans I have for you." The original Hebrew word translated as plans in this portion of Scripture means plotting plans and executing them. So not only does God have those plans, not only does He know what He wants to do with your life, He knows how He's going to execute those plans for you. So that the Hebrew word translated as "know," "For I know the plans I have for you," is not just a thought of knowing. This word means to show, teach, and make known. Therefore, we can read Jeremiah 29:11 like this. God says to each one of us, "I have plotted a plan for your life, and I want it to come to pass. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to show you, teach you, and make this plan known to you. Trust the process." So I really want to focus on trusting. Are we trusting this plan, or are we just hoping that God has a plan? And I have 5 points that I also want to walk through. A lot of my points have been covered by quite a few of the speakers throughout the week. But I am going to go through what the Lord has laid on my heart. But before I get to those 5 points, the main thing I want to bring across is that we cannot trust the process if we aren't putting that process in the hands of the one who has the control. If we aren't claiming control, we shouldn't be trusting that process. But it's only when our lives are fully surrendered to God and know that He is guiding our lives that we can trust the process He is walking us through. Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." So if we are fully trusting in the Lord, we can know that He is guiding our process, but then it is on us to trust that process and walk that journey with Him. Proverbs 37, verse 23, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand." We know the New King James Version says that the steps of a good man, a righteous man, are ordered of the Lord. But all of this leads me to my first point, which is presence before purpose. All of this requires spending time in the presence of God. And I'm not saying only presence, no purpose. We know that we are all called for a purpose. But we have such a culture around us that is so purpose-driven. We all want to know, what's our purpose? What's my call? Where am I going to? What am I here for? But we will never know that if we aren't taking the time to spend in His presence. And that's why that key says, presence before purpose. Time in His presence will ensure that we are on the right process. I heard someone say that if I chase my shadow, I will never catch it. But if I chase the sun, my shadow is always there. So if we are chasing our purpose and we're striving for this purpose and that's our focus, we will never achieve it. There'll always be something more to do, something bigger, something greater, something much more out there. But if we are chasing the presence of God, if we are spending that time with Him in His Word, our purpose will always follow. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. The English Standard Version says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's in His presence that we find our pleasure, that we find our satisfaction, that we find who we are. And if we know our purpose and that God is guiding us, we can trust that. Because it's not often that God shows you every single step, every single direction along the way. He'll show you a glimpse. He'll give you a vision. He'll give you a promise. And then He'll direct our steps as to how we get there. Just like that ship has a destination it has to reach, it does not always know what it will encounter along the way. But because the course has been set and our trust is in the captain that sets our course, we know the journey will lead us there. So we trust the process because we trust the captain, and it makes the ride all the more enjoyable. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. And we know how Dad has always illustrated this verse. It's not a broad spotlight that shows you everything along your path that you can expect. It shows you your next step. And as you walk and as you step, it's lighting and guiding your path. So then my first example of someone who saw this vision but didn't know the entire process that it would take to get there is Joseph. Imagine if God gave Joseph all the details that it would take to get to the promise. Joseph might have given up on that promise. I mean, who willingly wants to go through the pit and the prison, being accused and forgotten? Instead, God gave him a glimpse. He gave him the vision. He showed him the promise. And Joseph had to go along with the process. And it's easy to look back at Joseph's story now and say, yes, it all worked out for him. Of course he should have trusted God. But in the same way, we need to be trusting God where we are right now. God gives us a vision of the promise, and then He throws us into the process. It's then on us to trust Him in that process. So we know God isn't making this up along the way. He has a plan. Like we discussed from Jeremiah 29:11, He knows the plan, He knows the process, but do I trust that? And that's where I come to point number two, transfer trust. So part of God not revealing the full direction is that when we know every single detail, every single step along the process, it can become very easy to then rely on our own strength. We will not draw from God, but we will just walk because we know what's coming. We know what to expect. But God wants us to fully trust in Him, to draw aside and spend our time with Him so that as we're walking these steps, we know that He is guiding it and we're doing it by His grace. Another example is Abraham. Do you really think that Abraham thought that sacrificing Isaac would have been part of the process? But he had fully transferred his trust to God, that whatever the Lord commanded him to do, he was willing to do it, because he knew the promise and he had transferred his trust to his Lord that he was willing to walk out the process. We have to move beyond the realm of knowing and operate in that realm of trusting, the realm of faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It's one thing to know and believe, to know all the steps, to know what to expect. Then yes, it's easy to believe. It's another to trust, to draw on that faith and believe. We know that from Thomas, where Jesus said to him in John 20:29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. We have to be able to walk by faith, to transfer our trust to God and know that he has our process. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The process is unseen, but faith brings it into the now, and we can trust that God has control because we have given him control over our lives. I need to transfer from my own strength and my own abilities to God and his way of working in my life. And this is all done through prayer. So point number three is having the posture of prayer. Remember the verse I read earlier where God works all things out for our good? I know Pastor Steve just taught from it. Two verses before that, Romans 8 verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So if we are spending time in prayer, time in his presence, we can then trust the process. Sometimes it's easier to pray a 5-second prayer for more clarity. God, can you please guide me more? Tell me more. Give me more of what to do than it is for us to pray for that heart that trusts him. So are you playing tug of war with God and the control of your life right now? God is telling you to do one thing and you're like, oh no, Lord, I didn't really want to do that. He's telling you to join a church and you're pulling on that rope and you're saying, no, the church hurt me. Or he's telling you to give and you're pulling on that rope. No, that's not what I wanted to do with my money. Or he's telling you to forgive and you're pulling on that rope. The best thing you can do with that rope right now is surrender it to Jesus. Give up that rope and give him full control of your life. Someone who lived with this posture of prayer is David. He wrote all those psalms in worship to God. And I read this part the other night in Apostle Theo's book, Who is the Holy Spirit? David was chased for 13 years. And in this whole process, he returned to Ziklag after a mission to discover the entire town burnt down, all their wives and children kidnapped, the whole place ransacked. And David could have said at that moment, God, why is this happening to me? What is going on? What is your plan for all of this? But he didn't. He kept trusting God in those moments. There in the ashes of Ziklag, when all hope was gone, he said in Psalm 138 verse 8, the Lord will work out his plan for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. And 2 weeks later, he was on the throne as king. Once again, this is a man who knew the promise of God. He was anointed to be king while he was a shepherd boy, but he had to return to the fields and he had to trust the process, not knowing fully what was to come. Chased for 13 years when you know you're supposed to be king. Like, that's a glimpse of the promise, but what a process to have to walk through. But he did it in such a way that he always honored God and he honored Saul as the current king through his process. Because he transferred his trust to God, he was able to trust the process and see God come through for him and the people he was leading. This account shares how the men were weeping until they could weep no more. They were in an absolute desperate situation. Have you ever felt so overwhelmed, so desperate by something that has happened in your life? David did too, but he went through it all with a posture of prayer. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He transferred his trust and he saw the process come to manifestation and his promise as king come to pass. When we transfer our trust to God, we can trust the process and others eat the fruits of it too. But as we are walking this journey with other people and experience life with others, it leads me to the fourth key. Don't compare, celebrate. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 in the English Standard Version, if I can just have that one up on the board, please. It says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. So this point pretty much explains itself. We cannot compare our current situation to someone's end result or someone's 10 steps down the line. We don't know what their process has been. We don't know what God has told them to do. We don't know if, like I said, they are 10 steps down the line and you're just at the starting point. You cannot compare, but rather celebrate what everyone around you is going through and know that we are all in this process together. And number five, my last closing point is, the process is the promise. Where you are right now, be there, be present, do what God is telling you to do. Galatians 3 verse 4, it says, just waiting, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So we have not gone through things in our lives for no reason. It wasn't in vain. It all had a purpose. God worked it all for our good. And no, not everything is caused by God. We know that there is an enemy out there and he is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But if our trust is in the Lord and he is guiding us with what to do, we can trust that process. If you are in his presence, if you are listening to him, if you are doing what he has told you and called you to do, you are in your promise. I know, like I said, a lot of us are looking for this big call, this big purpose. What am I to do with my life? But if you are doing what God has told you to do right now, that is your promise. Who has he told you to go to coffee with? Who has he told you to minister to? Who has he told you to sow into the lives of? Do that and you are walking out your promise. Just as we would look back in our lives and think, wow, I came through this process. I wouldn't change a thing. It all led me to exactly where I am right now. Like I said, I look back and I was so shy and so withdrawn, but I wouldn't change a thing. Just as where you are right now, come from your future and tell yourself where you are right now. Trust that process. Enjoy where you are. Give control to God and know that he is working it all out for your good. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.